Welcome to the Big Mike Fund Podcast, where you learn about advanced wealth building strategies from real estate investing to creating massive ROI and secured retirement profits. So pour yourself a cup of coffee, grab a notepad, and lean in, because Big Mike has got the mic, starting now.
Welcome to the Big Mike Fund Podcast. I'm the Big Mike, Mike Zlotnik. Today it is my pleasure and a privilege to welcome Tom Kroll. Hi, Tom.
Bam! How are you, Mike?
I'm great. It's great to have you. You are full of energy and excitement.
I love it.
Let me introduce Tom to the audience. Tom is a brother from the Collective Genius Mastermind. He was the number one wholesaler in the country last year. Tom, tell the audience a couple of words about you. You have wonderful family, five kids. Where do you live? And what do you do?
Let's do it. So my name is Tom Kroll. I am a wholesaler in a little tiny town called Port St. Lucie, Florida. I've married with five children, and I was, just real briefly, I was in the lawn care business. It was a nightmare. I was sweating in the hot Florida sun. I got fired from that job, and my brother in California said, Tom, you've got to get into wholesaling. And he dragged me the whole way, kicking and screaming and whining. And I said, I don't want to. I don't understand this business. Thank God that he did. And last year, we did over $1 million in assignments. If I could do it, you could do it. I also am the founder of Wholesaling Inc., America's number one wholesaling real estate education program. We have more successful wholesalers than any other training program in the country. So super excited about that. Every day we get to give and we wake up and we say, how can we help our students get out of their own way, give them instruction, and do their first deal? So that's a little bit about me.
Thank you for that introduction. Having five kids and I have four, I can certainly appreciate how hard it is. So you work hard and you play hard with your kids.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They drive you crazy.
They drive you a little crazy. Especially one of them, which happens to be the one that's the most like me. She's the one who gives us the most hard time.
Well, there's always a special talent in the family. So I'm sure that kid is outstanding.
Outstanding in many ways.
The joke before the call, you ran out to, because the baby was crying, and you ran to close the door, and I was going to say, you're running to shut the baby. Not quite.
Just the door. It's funny. That one is our youngest one. That one's Levi. And this weekend was my wife's birthday. My oldest, Logan, was home from school, and he was here. So we had all five kids at home, which doesn't really happen a lot anymore since Logan's at college. But we started young. I'm 40 years old. Julie and I, we went to a little Christian college. We got pregnant with Logan, which got us booted right out of our small little Christian college. And now he's in college. So I can't believe I'm 40 and I have a 20-year-old in college.
Oh, I know the drill. I have a 19-year-old who is in college, and it's not that much of a spread apart, but it's I know how it is. Different age, you know. A lot of different responsibilities. But
Oh, yeah. Good stuff.
Good stuff. Exactly. All right. Let's talk a little bit about wholesaling. So just for the audience, please explain a little bit more details. And my audience is very sophisticated, but I still want to break it down to the basics. What is real estate wholesaling? You're not wholesaling furniture. You're not wholesaling tomatoes. You're not wholesaling pajamas. You're wholesaling real estate.
Absolutely.
Please explain how real estate wholesaling works. And what is it?
So wholesaling is really easy. I always say wholesaling is easy. People are complicated. And what that means is wholesaling, very simply, is the art of consistently finding discounted properties. That is where it ends. Whatever your exit strategy is, whether you are a rehabber, a landlord, you assign the contract, you just put the home on MLS without even touching it, you're a hard money lender, whether you are Donald Trump or Robert Kiyosaki, it doesn't matter, or anywhere in between, every single good deal begins with a discounted property. So wholesaling is the art of consistently finding discounted properties. If you can get good at that, you will become a multimillionaire. It doesn't matter what your exit strategy is. A lot of people think that wholesaling is all about assigning a contract. That's really not true at all. Wholesaling is the art of finding discounted properties. And I believe that every single real estate investor in the country, everyone really in the country, in any area, should have a wholesaling business that does three things. Number one, it should run 100% without them. Number two is it should generate $1 million a year in revenue in whatever form it's running in. And number three is it should provide you with a pipeline, a consistent pipeline every single month of discounted properties that you can cherry pick from in order to leverage for either your landlord business or whatever for passive income. But every real estate investor should have a wholesaling business. It's super easy to set up. It has nothing to do with real estate at all. As you said, Mike, before, you know, I'm not wholesaling tomatoes or watches or TVs, but the reality is a wholesaling business, if you are an intelligent investor, a wholesaling business should be more like a pawn shop than a real estate business. Meaning that we only do houses because they're very desirable and very valuable. But if watches or cars tomorrow were more desirable and more valuable than houses, we would just switch our business from houses to cars or from houses to watches. The more you make wholesaling about real estate, the more complicated it becomes, the more you become an expert, the more difficult it becomes to replace you in the business. So we always encourage our students, don't worry about the real estate. Don't worry about that silly term ARV or cap rate or equity. All this stuff is meaningless. Go out there and get good at finding discounted properties and then get a McDonald's, you know, kid, you know, a 20-year-old to replace you at doing that, and you'll have a business. And a business to me is a simple process that produces a consistent result that you can delegate to somebody else. That's the brilliance of wholesaling. So I think wholesaling is really, really, truly the greatest business on the planet. I don't know any other business model that is better than wholesaling real estate. There's almost no risk at all. As long as you do what you're supposed to do, you do the right thing, and the upside is tremendous. I just cherry picked a house from my pipeline last week. It's a house that's worth about $240,000. And I was able to pay cash for it. And I bought it for $147,800. And we're going to make a huge profit on it. And we just do this all the time. And I love it. I love it. It's a great business. So I'm super excited about it. I'm happy to share.
Thank you, Tom, for the great explanation. So let me just translate for the audience what you said so excitingly. Number one, it is a marketing business. So from yes. everything I heard, it has more to do with marketing than with real estate.
It yes.
It's an art of spending marketing dollars, picking marketing campaigns, automating your marketing campaigns, enabling marketing automation to generate strong leads, cherry pick the best leads, and then monetize them. And it is a, in real estate, the good old expression, is that you make the money on the buy, not on the sell. So that's everything you said is, making the money when you buy the property. You could have many exit strategies associated with it if you found a good deal. So I agree with you. That is the crux of the business. If you can find good deals. So let me dive a little bit further into this.
Let's do it.
So I know a lot of wholesalers, as you can imagine, through the Collective Genius and outside. I've seen people struggling in this environment. They're struggling because inventories have been much tighter. The reason for this is short sales are gone, or not gone, but a lot fewer of them. And the traditional motivated sellers are not as plentiful, plus there are a lot of people trying to do this. And so what's the secret sauce? How do you, what things work in wholesaling, what have worked for you, have given you success, and what type of marketing you do and to get optimal return on your investment? Because marketing costs money. You could do it, sort of try to do it free with people just walking around knocking doors and paying them a commission, or you could be running Facebook campaigns, you could be running Google campaigns, you could be sending postcards, you could be sending texts and so on and so forth. So what works? What's the most efficient and effective in today's environment to get these quality leads?
So I totally agree with everything you just said. And I'm happy to tell you, I have the exact answer. And here's the answer. The answer is, if you speak to wholesalers who are struggling, the ones who are struggling, and you ask them, how are you finding your motivated sellers? The struggling wholesalers with the income that kind of like they make money and then they don't make money, and then they make money and they're on a roller coaster, they always 100% of the time give you the same answer. And the answer they give you is they'll say, well, I cold called some agents. I cold called a little bit on Craigslist. I put out a few bandit signs. I sent out some handwritten letters. I put up a Facebook ad, and I did door knocking, and then I drove for dollars. They always will give you that answer. When you speak to the wholesalers who are consistently every single month earning a lot of money wholesaling, and you say, how are you finding your motivated sellers? They always give you the same answer. I do this one channel and I go all in and I totally dominate it in my market and I have all the data. I have Mark Evans like to say, data, not drama. So they know, for instance, if the only channel they do is bandit signs, they know which color works best. They know which font works best. They know what size works best. They know which placements in the community work best. If they do direct mail, they know the size, if it's a postcard or a letter, and the open rate and the response rate and the conversion rate and when to mail. So I think that all of the men and women who have come before us in every field, they talk about this. They talk about specialization. So when you can dominate a channel, especially if you have limited resources, whether those resources that are limited would be time or money or both or other things, it is so even more important to double down your focus, to really get in there and dominate a channel that you believe is going to work. So from a 50,000 foot view, Mike, the answer is pick a channel and make it work. One that you believe is going to, so if your listeners believe that direct mail is best, great. Direct mail is best. If they believe cold calling is best, God bless them. Cold calling is best. But if they're going to do both, they're going to stink at both and they're going to be diluting their efforts and it's not going to work, especially in times when the gravy train starts to slow down a little bit. So I would encourage your listeners to pick a channel, dominate it, learn it, automate it, delegate it. That is the key. And that's number one. Number two, and this is absolutely true, the wholesalers who struggle, who have inconsistent income and who are frustrated, they are making two major mistakes 100% of the time. First mistake that they're making is they have inconsistent marketing. So even though they've picked a channel and they're dominating it, you'll ask them about their marketing, it's inconsistent. That will 100% cause major frustrations and delays and downturns in your business. They do that for many, many reasons. But number one is you have to be consistently marketing all the time. The only thing that matters in a wholesaler's new, if you're a wholesaler and I say, you know, to one of your listeners, I want to buy your wholesaling business, I'm only going to call them every day and ask them three questions. I'm going to say, how much marketing went out last week? How many sellers did you speak with on the phone today? How many sellers did you meet with in person today? That's it. That's the only three questions I want the answer to, because if any of those are wrong, I know I'm not going to get my money back if I own their business. So the second thing was get consistent with marketing. So first, pick a channel, dominate it. And then number two is stay consistent. And then the third big mistake is don't make wholesaling about real estate. If you make wholesaling about real estate, you are going to have a very, what's going to happen is you're going to start chasing money instead of chasing a business. When you chase money, what happens is every deal that comes in, you're trying to squeeze every deal for as much profit as possible, and that you will make more money per deal, but you will do far less deals and you will be doing the deals, not some 20-year-old kid. You will be doing the deals because you're becoming an expert. It's like the difference between owning a McDonald's that runs without you with people who don't make decisions or becoming a 5-star chef and making some money, but working on the weekends, working on Christmas, and just generally getting burnt out. So if you want to create a business that runs without you and is successful and is a servant to you and your family, then dominate a channel, pick one channel and dominate it. It really doesn't care doesn't really matter what channel you pick. Stay consistent with it every single week. And then don't become a real estate expert, become an expert in business, not real estate. The product or the service is totally inconsequential. It doesn't matter. So that would be my in this time right now, this is true advice always, but it is especially true right now as there is a little bit of a slowdown and wholesaling goes through cycles and you know, for many reasons. But if you can stay true to that, I think that would make a big difference.
That's brilliant. I have to say, I very much enjoy your comments. I agree that the focus is that it's the number one driver of success. And the fact that people need to go sort of all in, they can't go half the way, cut the marketing and go back and forth. And
right.
We know that in marketing, and this is true for real estate and non-real estate, people respond on a sales touch point on average. Whatever it is, they may be different somewhere, maybe sixth, somewhere maybe fifth, but a lot of times they don't respond on the first touch point. So success is a consistent, ongoing marketing. So how do people figure out what works? That's the whole thing. I agree. Once you got your signs down, there's an expression, try many things until you figure out what works and do a lot of that. So you're saying figure out what works at one channel and do a lot of it. And consistent, be consistent about it and run it as a business. I am in 100% agreement with you. But the question is, how do you figure out what works? Because what happens is this, and we both know so many people who have gone through a success and then they struggle now. The reason for this is they something used to work and it broke, no longer works. Market conditions change. Number one, that's one thing that happens. Number two, they're now trying to find another channel. Whatever was there before, and that new channel is hard to find. So what happens is this, this is my observation. I'm not an expert. Remember, I'm a finance guy. I fund deals. I don't find deals per se. So I interact with a lot of these folks in our network consistently. We have this conversation. I try to help them to the best of my knowledge and experience and ability, but I'm not a marketing expert when it comes to finding deals. I'm generally not a marketer. I'm more of a financial kind of engineer, if you want to call it that way.
Right.
But I want taking a step back. The this is what I see. So to do something at a good level, to dominate that, you need a sizable marketing budget. You can't do it, pardon me, half-assed. I hope it's okay to say that on the air.
It's your podcast.
I generally don't curse. I don't like when anybody curses. I'm just, you know, hopefully it's a clean, you know, I didn't say anything bad. But you can't do anything half the way. You really have to do it consistently and you have to do it well. That will drive you half the degree of success. But it takes a lot of capital. And I've seen people keep throwing more and more money in something and just realize that whatever they're doing it wrong. Okay. It is either the wrong message, the wrong delivery. They need to be constantly tuning and tweaking until they figure out what works. How do you go through this process? How do you go through this discovery?
Yes.
How are you able to put together the budget and be operating at a loss, trying to find what works? And when you find that works, how do you know that it's really working, not a temporary thing?
Yeah, this is... I'm once again, I love this question. I could tell you with confidence, I know exactly the answer because I went through it. Here's the answer. Get out of your own way. Six words. So this is what happens to all real estate investors. When they start out, they're curious, they're young, they're hungry, right? Or they're younger than they were now, right? Obviously. So however old they are, they're young in the sense that they're younger than their older self. And they are humble and they are seeking information and they are seeking instruction. So what they do typically, the successful ones, is they find somebody who is successful. They find somebody who, the way I define success is that they are where that person is, where they want to be. So what they do is they find this person, they attach themselves to that person, and they become almost like an apprentice or a mentee where they get out of their own way. So when the leader says, go and do this, they don't have to put it through the filter of their own opinion. What they do is they just do what the mentor says to do. So think of it like Mr. Miyagi and Daniel-san. Remember when now that I'm 40, I don't know if everyone in your audience is going to get this, but Mr. Miyagi was an instructor of karate or something. And he would bring Daniel-san to the dojo and he would say, I want you to wax the car and then unwax the car and paint the fence. instead, Daniel was in pain because he was getting beat up at school. He was getting bullied at school. So instead of putting through his instruction and asking why and not doing it, he just did what Mr. Miyagi said to do. Then when the fight came, Daniel's son, right, was ready for the fight. What happens to a lot of real estate investors is now they have achieved some level of success. You see this all the time. And now they're not humble. They're prideful. They puff out their chest, right? They know what they know. And they are now have an inability to follow a leader. This happens all the time. So what happens is now trouble comes and there's a problem and something that was working is no longer working. So what do? They try to figure it out themselves. And the answer is you need to find somebody who is where you want to be again, and you should be constantly in mentorship. I have multiple mentors. All the best people I know have multiple mentors that they're following all the time in different areas of their life. But the pride and the ego, now it becomes very, very difficult for this struggling person because now they're embarrassed. First of all, they don't even want to admit that there's a problem, so they wait very, very long to try to solve it. That's the first thing that happens. They don't. It's all a a certain body appendage measuring contest all the time, right? So the ego is saying, "Look at how great I am. Look at how successful I am. I am the best." And now this makes it impossible because they're seeking all of that praise to seek any kind of mentorship. Then they wait too long. And then what they do is the whole time they're trying to figure it out themselves. So instead of getting somebody to become an apprentice to, what they do is they go to events and they speak to people and they just try to take pearls of wisdom from people who are more successful than they are. And that's the problem. So I think that the problem is, how do you know that what works or what's going to be next or how to solve this problem? You don't. It starts with, I don't know. Then it starts with who does know and who can I attach myself to go to that next level instead of just taking pearls of wisdom from 15 different people who I think are more successful. But the problem is you don't really ever know. So I think that the answer is very simple. As things change, you need to find new mentors who are in new locations of where you want to be, and you need to get out of your own way again and follow, even if you don't agree with what they're telling you to do. And you do what they tell you to do. And I think that really is the entire answer. I think that's where it begins. If you look at the point of failure, it begins with pride and ego. And now they're on the top of the mountain and now they can't hear anybody. And that's the problem.
Tom, I appreciate your wisdom. That is certainly very revelational. It is a humbling experience for somebody to say, I don't know anything. But I happen to believe you with all my heart, from the point of view that everyone needs a good mentor and everybody needs a coach, and having a coach or and a mentor helps quite a bit. Finding a good coach is not easy either. But yes, finding a good leader in the space with a good track record, someone who is not just self-promoting. There's a lot of self-claiming gurus, let me put it this way. They can't do themselves, but they teach.
Absolutely.
Don't do as I do as I say. And then do they really know? I'm not sure.
I totally agree. And that's difficult too, because everyone in most circles is either, one thing that I won't say who taught me this, but one of my mentors who is very popular, everyone would know this person. He taught me a very important thing. He said that everyone is full of, you know what?
Yeah.
And what that means is that these people, they're either selling you something or they're trying to make themselves look good. And a lot of them believe their own BS. It's so prevalent that they actually believe what they're saying. So they can't, they're very convincing because they don't even think they're lying. So it's very difficult to find good, authentic people who are where you want to be. And that's a challenge. And thank God that when I started, my brother was that guy for me. And I knew a few things about him. I knew he was a millionaire. I knew he had my best intentions at heart. And I knew that I could do it. And usually the point of failure is a doubt in one of those areas. The reason people don't follow through with a mentor is because they either doubt themselves that, you know, like this guy can do it, but I can't, or they doubt the mentor or they doubt the program that he teaches. And I think that you have to get really good at identifying who's full of crap and who's not. But just take, you know, a lot of these people, you know, after you do it a few times, you kind of, if you just ask them a few quick questions, you can kind of get at things. Because a lot of these people who they follow their gross number to feel better about themselves instead of their net number, as soon as you start to peel back and just ask them some basic questions, you'll notice they don't have the data. They won't be able to answer the questions. So just a lighthearted conversation with a few questions like, oh, tell me more about that. And, you know, well, how many deals would that be? Well, if you're doing $20,000 per deal and you said you did a million, but that number of deals would have been 5 million. So is it 5 million or is it a million? And then things just don't add up. So I think a lot of people just don't question people. And as soon as you start to ask some questions, just not even an investigatory way, but just in a way to just trust but verify and get clarity, you'll notice that the conversation gets very confusing right away. So I think that's a good way to kind of navigate that water.
That's a very interesting point. I too like numbers, and numbers tell the story more than the storyteller tells the story. A good storyteller can tell you a fairy tale, and if you, you're absolutely right. If you ask them for the numbers and they don't know the numbers, then they're full of it. And
absolutely.
That's the truth. You could ask, oh, you did $1 million last year. How many deals and what's the average per deal? And those are just the basic information. And what's your cost of marketing? What's your net profit and gross profit? And what's interesting is most people don't even know how to what questions to ask. That's the challenge. They're trying to find a mentor. They don't have the right questions to ask. And what they wind up is kind of picking from the field of the best storytellers, and then they wind up spending yet many thousands of dollars on coaching, and then or whatever the program, and then they don't get it done. But I think the primary actually issue, and you mentioned a number of them, it's personal pride and this and that, but it is drive to success. If someone hopes that somebody is going to do it for them, they should forget about it and go get a job. And people need their own personal drive, go get a personality, and having a right coach will be the key. At that point, bite the pride, but find a good leader. If you find a bad leader, they'll take you, you know, where.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem is that it's you know, one thing that you could do to vet coaches, right? Because even with me, right, if I sell coaching, check out the reviews. Check out the reviews. And you'll know on video reviews, right, if these are, you know, sometimes you'll see coaches and they'll have things like Mary P in Cincinnati says, or Gary, you know, S says, you know, Tom is great. Well, I wouldn't trust them. I would say the reviews that are real people who are, you know, are speaking on video when it comes to a coach. I think as far as like personal mentors, people who don't have coaching, I think the key is just like you said, just a few things. They'll only speak in terms of gross. And that'll be the first telltale sign. You know, one thing I always say too is like, because they believe it themselves, is right now we're on this gravy train. The first people who go out of business when this gravy train stops, you're just look at their conference table and it'll tell you everything that you need to know about them, right? So if they have like an $8,000 glass with ingrained wood conference table in their office, that's right at the first line of the bankruptcy attorney is those people, because they're watching that gross number and they're bragging about that gross number even to themselves. So if you want to know a lot about a person, just look at their conference table. And if it's like a fold-out conference table with a barbecue stain, perfect. If it's like an $8,000 wood inlaid conference table, don't follow that guy.
Yeah, makes sense. So Tom, I appreciate your wisdom. How would people find you? So what's the best way to, if they want to learn about wholesaling, if they need some coaching, and you are one of the master blusters out there who who knows how to do it, and you'd probably be a good mentor for folks who want to learn wholesaling.
So. Yeah, I mean, if your listeners are, they can check us out on our podcast. It's Wholesaling Inc., wholesalinginc.com. If you want to find out more and apply to our program and you're ready to get out of your own way, because our coaching style is exactly the way my big brother taught me. So it's a little bit more brutal, right? We don't really care what you think you know about wholesaling. We don't really care what you want to know about wholesaling. We're going to tell you what's going to to do. You're going to check it out with your real estate attorney, and then you're going to do it. And that's the extent of our relationship, because when our students pay us money, our obligation is to get them a return on that money. It's not just to give you information. You know, if you want information about wholesaling, just go to YouTube, right? There's a ton of, there's mountains of information, but information is not usually the problem. It's not a lack of information. So our, if they want to find out more, they could head on over to Wholesaling Inc., wholesalinginc.com. There's an application to fill out. And if we like what you have to say, we'll invite you to be a rhino, which is there's a 1,000 rhinos in this office. I don't know if you could see them all, but yeah, that's it, brother.
That's great. I appreciate it. We're almost out of time. Is there a final wisdom, final advice, final comments? Is there a good book? What would you like to share?
Two things. I'll tell you, I attribute, number one, the majority of my success when I started, I attribute to tithing. So I will tell you, tithe on your money. The first 10% of the money that you make does not belong to you. It belongs to God. If you're not, if you're using it and taking it and you're not tithing it, in Malachi, last book of the Old Testament, chapter 3, verse 8, it talks about you're actually stealing from God if you don't tithe. So I really encourage you guys to tithe and give your 10% to wherever you get your spiritual food. That's number one. And number two is reading. There is, you know, I remember when I was a kid, Oprah Winfrey on TV saying read and read and read. And if there is one commonality, or if there is one common thread that 100% of the 1% of the 1% of what they do, every single one reads every day. Every single one. There is no exception. There's no one on the list. You know, you could find some people who do this and some people. When it comes to the 1% of the 1%, they read every day. So audiobooks are great. All this other stuff is great. But if you're not reading, it's almost impossible to make it to financial freedom. Maybe you had a teacher who told you that you had a learning disability, that you are dyslexic, that you're ADD. I've had these problems when I was a kid. So they told you you were a visual learner or an audio learner. Let me tell you, unless you literally physically cannot read street signs, if you can read street signs and drive a car and read that way, you can discipline yourself to read a book. So start with eight pages a day, whatever it is. Read every single day. I cannot tell you, it will change your life. Your brain is a muscle. It'll get easier. Don't worry about retention. Don't worry about falling asleep. Stand up, get through it. Commit to reading 8 pages a day. It will change your life. And it's really a must. It's a must if you want to have financial freedom. I don't know anyone who has it that's not a reader.
Tom, thank you for your brilliance. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your service to God. And thank you for helping others.
Bam! I'm ringing the victory bell on that one. Thank you for having me, Mike. It's been a pleasure. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Big Mike Fund Podcast. To receive your copy of Mike's How to Choose a Smart Real Estate Fund book, head to BigMikeFund.com or visit Amazon and type Mike's slot name. Keep listening and keep investing Big Mike style. See you on the next episode.